Hello, everyone. Hi, again.
Hello.
I'm David Catieu, working for 3D for Everyone team, and I'm with...
David Rousset, so I'm working as a senior developer and as an evangelist also, and we both have been working on the Babylon JS engine, maybe you heard about, and we're going to show you some experiments we've been doing with some partners on mobile VR, and how to switch progressively from mobile VR to web VR.
So as you can see, it's like a VR fair here. We have the SR, which is a Windows holographic devices, and we have the Oculus right here. And we have this funny little one. It's not expensive if you want to do VR with nothing, just your phone.
So today we're going to see that we've got a lot of different VR devices available. So from the Oculus Rift, we've got there, HTC Vive, I've got one at home, I really love it. The beautiful mixed reality headset, like that one, you saw a lot of them during the keynotes. We've got also the Gear VR for mobile, Daydreams, and the low-cost one like Cardboard or stuff like that. And we're going to see how to address all of these devices. But before, we're going to have a view on an experiment we've been working with a partner of us, Neo Pangea.
Yep.
And it's addressing the lower part of this slide.
So the goal was to work with National Geographic to provide an experience where you can understand how, what could it take actually to land and live on Mars. So they did on Mars. So they did several experiments that you can try online right now if you want. One of them was done with VR in mind, not the web VR, but more the VR with your phone kind of stuff. So here we have a phone running the URL makemarshome.com. You can go with your own device if you want.
And if I'm turning that in landscape mode, so the idea of this experiment is you have a double rendering, so you need to put that on top if you want to have the real VR experience. And the way to select a menu, because in VR you cannot have any HTML element, DOM element, so you need to have another way of interacting with the page. So it's to have a look to a specific place, keep your, well, the specific diamond icon you've got there, then I need to read begin, and we will be able to travel on Mars. And the way to do that is, you see, it's to go up, to go straight forward on the right, and trying to catch some of the stuff we've got on Mars. So this is a very interesting way of experimenting VR, currently in production, that has been done by great guys working on Babylon JS engine. And this is the first way to do VR. It currently runs on any kind of mobile, so it's a Windows mobile device, but you can use an iPhone, Android, as long as the GPU is strong enough to do a dual rendering of the scene you need to display.
So you can have this kind of devices or cardboard where you just put your phone inside it and you put that on your head, and that's kind of a headset, I would say. And that works pretty well, actually. I tried this one, and that's pretty immersive.
So you didn't become sick?
No, it's OK.
So how to do VR on the web? So going further, there's been a specification that's been created named Web VR. And if you go to this website, you will see a simple definition. The idea is to make it simple to use VR on the web. Simple is, well, more or less true, because to be able to do some VR, you need to have a 3D engine, you need to be able to write some 3D, to have some 3D content, to do some fallbacks, because what we've just seen is using a kind of fallbacks, meaning we're using the accelerometer available on the phone and using device orientation APIs to be able to address that. So there are polyfill existing today that has been done by Google, so you may have a look to that. Or you can use some complete engine, like the one we've been creating together, named Babylon JS, and it's providing all those features for you. And we're going to have a look immediately on that.
OK. So the idea, the basic idea is, as always on the web, is to do feature detection. Don't sniff the user agent to say, oh, OK, it's AI, so I know it's not supporting web VR or whatever, because things can change. The idea here is to check the navigator object to see if we find the entry point for web VR, which is get VR displays. This specific function can be called to get the list of connected headsets on your device, on your PC. Okay? If you find one of them, actually, if this function exists, you can just call the create WebVR free camera here in Babylon.js, and we will take care for you of all the initialization and the gory details regarding math. If you don't have a WebVR devices, that's not a problem. You can still provide a kind of interactive experience for your users by calling the VR device orientation free camera. It's going to use the accelerometers inside some of our laptops, like the Surface, for instance, or just your phone, where accelerometers are always there. And you can provide kind of WebVR experience.
So for instance, the Mars experiment was using the second one, the VR device orientation free camera. So now let's have a look. So enough of slides. We will switch about on demos and code. And we will start using IE11.
Why IE11?
Because IE11 is not supporting WebVR, wasn't supporting WebVR. So the idea is to show you a simple scene we've been creating. So Babylon.js has been creating using TypeScript. So maybe most of you know TypeScript. And thanks to TypeScript, we've got some definition file. And on the left, we are using the Monaco editor, which is free and open source also. So it's very convenient for us to use this editor to let you play with the APIs. I have some immediate visual output on the right. So for instance, if I want to see how I've been able to create the ground, I can control click on create ground, and I will
You can navigate in your code on the web. There is no Visual Studio installation or whatever. It's a pure web page.
Yes, and it's going to work on your Mac, Linux machines. As long as you've got WebGL supported, you can experiment directly in the browser. So and you see it's very simple. You've got the create ground function to call. You need to set what we are calling a material. Material is textures, how you want to handle the lights. And that's basically it.
That's it, yep.
So the main important stuff for us is the type of camera we would like to use. Currently, we're using what we're calling a universal one, meaning I can move using the keyboard and mouse, like FPS game you may love to play with. Or also, I can move using a gamepad or a touchscreen. So this PC doesn't have a touchscreen, but you can try, for instance, on your iPhone, Android, or Windows phone. It will move with your finger. Now, let's imagine I want to switch to the first version of VR, which is a device orientation one. I can stay on this page, please, and try to press the the dots, and I will have access to IntelliSense. I'm looking for VR something, so VR device orientation camera. And then I'm pressing run to immediately see what's going on. And currently, we are managing the lens distortion. Because you can see on this little device, like inside headset, if you're not using WebVR, you've got to take into consideration the lens distortion. So we're doing that for you. It costs a lot of performance, so you can also disable it if you don't want to use the perfect rendering. So this is the first version of VR. If I want to switch to WebVR, again, this is the philosophy of Babylon, is to quickly switch from one camera to another one who has different kind of services available. Now let's press run. And as IE11 doesn't support WebVR, we are falling back to the first camera. We are not displaying anything because it would be unfair. So you can still move it, but you don't have some stereographic or 3D rendering. Now, Edge is supporting with the Windows 10 Creator Update WebVR. So what we need to do is to switch to Edge. There. And to go to the another kind of piece of code, you see we can save the links to various demo code we may have. And currently, what we have over there, we're going to see, we started to implement what you just explained before, testing for the availability of WebVR, doing feature detection. And if it's available, then I will use it. Currently, we cannot see anything in the browser, and neither in the headset normally, because in the specification, they said that you need to have a user interaction to be able to send the rendering to the headset. So you need to click on the button, to click on something to render the 3D scene. So I'm going to click on the canvas.
Y- Yeah.
And now, normally, David, you should see something. I can put that in full screen to have you an idea of what this currency. You see that we don't have the lenses distortion in WebVR. This is handled directly by the specification. And David now can do some stupid things. Don't move too far away because
yeah, we have I know there is something here, right?
And the tracking is done by the camera. So it's a full room-scale experience without external camera. So it's really cool. And you see it's MetNetty working.
It's absolutely working. And you were seeing what I was doing, actually.
So let's do something now. Let's switch to the Oculus Rift. So to be able to use the Oculus Rift, you need to use a special version of Chromium that's available on the site I was pointing in the slide at the beginning. So let's first...
Yeah, we don't have enough USB port.
Yes. We've got 4 USB ports, which is not enough, apparently. So normally, we should be able to have this one working. So David is my assistant for VR.
Sure.
And because David really loves VR, he's a huge fan of VR.
That's my passion.
So normally, you should be able to see something.
Not yet. It's coming. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Can you see it?
Yep.
So now I'm going to load the very same sample inside Chromium, which has web VR enabled. And currently, it can still move the head, it's doing something, but I need to click to enable it. So you can see something
yes,
now.
I see it.
And the beauty also of the Oculus is that we have the controller being enabled by default. So Babylon.js is taking care of that. You see, this is the very same code, and you don't have anything to do. We are detecting the kind of device you're using. And based on that, you even have animation on the trigger you can show when you're pressing the trigger. So we'll put that in front of your eyes so you see. And then the next step, obviously, is you to put some logic, your own code, on top of the controller. For now, it's just display it for you. And you see this was exactly the same code, so you don't have to do anything special. We are managing the various type of headset for you. So now the next step is how to add some interaction. So in Mars Explorer, you see we were looking at a specific area to select an object, to select a menu. When you're doing web VR, so when you're doing web stuff, you don't have any DOM elements. The canvas is rendered in full screen, so you have your own way to render 2D UI. So Babylon.js have different extensions to have 2D UI rendered in 3D, because you're forced to render that in 3D. That's the Cube Zero, for instance. It may sound very simple to do, but it's currently done in 3D to be able to see it in the full canvas.
So yeah, the idea is, how can I interact and select something? First idea would be to just use your gaze. What are you gazing at? And if you are gazing at something for a certain amount of time, we can consider you want to pick it and interact with it, right? So here, I'm back in IE to just use the WebVR, not the WebVR, sorry, but the VR device orientation camera. And I want first to highlight this new function here. I create a sphere, and this sphere is attached to the camera here by saying, OK, the parent of my sphere is my camera, which means that this little tiny green object here will move with my camera. When we move your head, because this tiny sphere is child of the camera, it's going to move with it. OK? That's just a hint for you to understand where is your gaze. OK? So that's this green stuff. And now, the second step is to on every frame, we have a specific function for that. Let me just zoom it a little bit. Yep. We have a specific function for that, scene.register before render. We are rendering at 60 to 90 frames per second. So 90 times per second, we are calling this function here. And this function, actually, is about doing a ray casting, launching a ray. In front of you, we're going to launch a beam, a laser beam, and we want to understand which is the first object that interacts with this ray. Okay? To do that, we have actually two options. Either we are with a controller, and in this case, the controller will point for me to the specific object I want to interact with, or I don't have a controller, and then my gaze will be my pointer. So either I don't have a controller, and then I take the ray from the camera, in front of the camera, or I just use in front of the left controller. That OK? With that, I can call the specific function from Babylon.js, pick with ray. I give you a ray. Give me what you can pick with that. It could be something. It could be nothing. If we have a hit and a picked mesh, Then we can consider, OK, if it's the ground, let's consider I want to teleport there. And we have a function to teleport you. The teleportation is actually pretty simple. We just change x, y, z of the camera with the picket point. That's it. And if not, we just want to actually change the color of the material of my selected object. So when I move with my mouse here, you can see that the cube is green, is gray, red, and blue, because we stay long enough on it.
So if just imagine that as a way to select an element in the VR menu.
Like you want to open a door, you don't have a controller. You want to look at the door for 3 seconds, and the door will open. That's a way for you to interact. And if you want to teleport, that's the same story. We just generate for you this whirlpool of particles to say, OK, that's where you want to go. And just by double-clicking, OK, you can teleport. Obviously, if you have a gamepad, you can also move with your gamepad. But most of the time, it's a bad idea, because you're going to be sick really fast if you do that. It's better to teleport, like to introduce.
Depends on people. Some people love to move with the gamepad. For me, if I'm using a gamepad to move the camera, I will fall sick in a couple of seconds. So I tend to prefer teleport. But you should offer both ways for your users to do it. Otherwise, you will be in trouble on the review of your website or application.
For sure. So now, let's keep exactly the same code.
So we have I've connected again the mixed reality headset. So maybe you can show how it works using it in Edge.
Let's go to Edge now. So with this specific headset, we don't have. That should be OK. Do you see it? Let me try again. Did you launch the right application?
Ah.
Yeah, it's not connected. Yeah, we are struggling a little bit to connect everyone.
Is that
OK, it's connecting right now. I'm going to restart the app. Let me know when it's ready. OK, should be ready. Perfect. So let me start again in Edge. We should have only the blue display. Perfect. If I click on here, the display will be rendered here as soon as possible.
Click.
I clicked.
Check in the.
Yep, that's fine. And you can see now that we are displaying for you the ray, starting from the middle of the screen, which is where David stands. And OK, you can.
And what I could do is look behind me, because I don't need any cameras to track the position of the headsets. So I don't have any worries to look in any direction. It's working by default. Tracking using the spatial mapping, like the HoloLens technology,
yep,
on the current stage.
And if you have a gamepad, then you can click on a button of a gamepad when you are gazing at the ground to teleport there. OK? So and still, with the same code, can you just bring back the
Yes, sure. We can.
The Oculus.
You can move a little bit out of the stage.
Yep. It works wonderfully well, because we unplug, replug. It's really impressive. So now, get back to Oculus. Let's say it's working.
It should, yeah.
It should be working. Yeah, there is nothing wrong here. So try to move.
Maybe reload the browser. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that sounds good.
So you need to click?
I need to click, correct. Yeah, and now David can gaze. Let me do the gaze okay for you. And please, as you can see, my gaze is not the important point right now. What is important is the left controller, because we hooked the left controller. So if you, for instance, click there. Yep.
And if I'm going there, I can teleport, press the button. And if you want to, so you can do it yourself.
Let me play with it. That's really fun, to be fair. Let me move there, boom. Or there.
And you can play during hours with that. So we're going to leave you alone and continue.
Look at that. I can go there if I want, or there.
You need to come back.
OK, sorry.
Thank you.
That's an immersive experience. So the power of teleporting, you know?
So the last part we would like to show you is, for now, we've been using only pre-writing code, and we've been writing the code by hand. Obviously, what you could do also is to use directly 3D Studio Max, Unity, Blender, or FBX files, and export the scenes like that. And the next step then is to, so it's one line of code to be able to
zoom it.
Ah, yes. So let me switch that to the proper number, number 3. So the number 3.
It's in settings.
It didn't load the right one. So number four.
Nope.
So let me do that by, we don't have much time to conclude, it's too bad. But the idea is to really switch to the same camera we've seen before, and you will have a double rendering of the scene like that, that you may have in another scene. I don't know if we've got time to check that. But we've been publishing an experiment using Sponza. Sponza is being done by Crytek. And if I'm pressing the VR button, we've got the same experiment. You see, it's much more beautiful to what we created as developer, because this scene has been created by our 3D artist named Michel Rousseau. And you can even have the controller being displayed inside the scene. So you can then imagine teleporting, fighting against an enemy directly using this beautiful scene. You just need to pay attention to the quality of the rendering based on the machine you're targeting. This won't run on a small mobile machine, obviously. So you need to adapt the rendering based on that.
And based on what we mentioned before, the overall amount of code required for this specific scene is 20 lines of code. You load the scene, you enable a web VR camera, you do your teleport trick and the gaze stuff if you want, and done. Everything else is handled for you. Portability, fallback to VR devices or not, loading, handling memory for you, everything is done. And that's just really 20 lines of code.
So in summary, you have seen that Edge currently supports web VR with the Windows 10 Creators Update. And you can use also the mixed reality portal simulator. If you don't have a headset, there is a button to enable the simulator and move the camera with your gamepad. You need to have a user interaction to be able to render VR in all browser. This is part of the specification. And then to support all browser, don't forget to do feature detection and fallback. You may find the different demonstration there, so you can take a picture of that, and you will be able to replay that at home if you like to. And thank you for listening, and feel free to contact us on Twitter.
Thank you very much.